How do you feel about fingernails scraping across chalkboards? How do you feel about the sounds of a dental drill? Do these things make you squeamish? And if they do, you're going to really love this little video.
Okay, this would be 90 degrees. That would be about 45 degrees. Half of that would be 22 and a half degrees. And that's about where the blade, knife blade. It's not getting hot at all, so it's not hurting the steel.
Well, there you go. Yikes. That actually wasn't quite as annoying as it was on my computer in my office. It was quite loud and abrasive. So, last week I made this comment to you. I said that metals are not sharpened by hugging them. Right? We said that last week. No, of course not. A knife is sharpened by bringing it into contact with an abrasive. This grinding and this friction is what sharpens the knife. And I said last week, I'll repeat it for you now here with much more effect now after having watched that video. If knives were living beings that had feelings, you could imagine that the sharpening process for a knife would actually bring it some pain. But we noted that it actually would be pain with a good result because the friction involved in sharpening removes parts of the knife that are hindering it from being effective. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so we used this imagery of knife sharpening last Sunday as we spent some time thinking about one of the major themes in the book of Proverbs. And the theme we covered last week was that wise people will get good at receiving advice from others and even get good at receiving correction and discipline. Wise people will get good at receiving advice from others and even get good at receiving correction and discipline. And of course, you can go to the website if you missed it and hear some further thoughts on that. When wise and godly people give us advice, or even God himself, we're to resist that urge that comes within us to get angry and defensive, and instead Proverbs asks us to humbly listen and consider what's being said. Those words might sting and hurt, but they also just might be helping us remove behaviors and thoughts in our lives that are hindering us from being effective. It might be a case of iron sharpening iron. So we're in a series on the biblical book of Proverbs now, and I've entitled the series Wise Living, because the book of Proverbs is made up of all these short little wise sayings, most of them having been authored by King Solomon from back in ancient Israel, a man who God gave a gift of tremendous wisdom to. He was famous for it. And so here we are now today, all of us seeking to learn from this gift of wisdom that God gave to Solomon. We're seeking to pick up some little tidbits and some tips on how to live wisely. And of course, you know, God designed life. He knows how it's supposed to work, how we are supposed to work, and so he certainly would be the best source to look to for how to live life. We look to Scripture. Well, today I have for you a combination then of looking at another of these major themes within Proverbs, a new one, while also kind of following up on this theme that we talked about last week about getting good at receiving advice. Okay, so we established last Sunday, if we want to live wisely, we're supposed to get good at receiving advice. Well, what about the other side of the coin? How and when are we then supposed to give advice? That question may come to mind. I just said that metal is not sharpened by hugging it. It's sharpened through friction. But how does that fit in with God's call for us to love each other? Aren't we supposed to be more about the hugs here than the friction? Is Solomon telling us that we should be keeping our radar up, looking for faults in other people so that we can confront them and sharpen them through our wise and challenging words? Well, that doesn't seem quite right, does it? Well, that'll be our subject today in this follow-up from last week's theme. But before answering that question, let's get into our new major theme from Proverbs now. And perhaps this new theme will shed some light on this other question of how and when to give advice to others. I'll read some Proverbs for you now. They'll be up on the screen as well. Actually going to start out with the Bible verse that Janet Henrich picked for our church's Bible memory verse coming up here in February. Kind of neat that she picked up Proverbs since we're going through Proverbs right now. This is Proverbs 18:21, and it says this: "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Focus right now anyway on the first part of that proverb. The tongue has the power of life and death. Let's look at a few more wise sayings from Proverbs. Here's chapter 26, verse 2. "Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest." I like that imagery. It's very true. If someone says to you a mean comment or an unjust thing, doesn't it just kind of hang with you? "It doesn't come to rest," says Solomon. "It just spins around within you like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow." I love that imagery, and it's a great truth. This is the power of the tongue. Chapter 12, verse 28 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords." The tongue has power. So that February Bible memory verse says it has the power of life and death. It can bring about terrible wounds, but it also has power in the other direction too. In fact, if you finish that proverb there in chapter 12, verse 28, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." So the tongue can wound, the tongue can heal and bless. It's the power of our words. Proverbs 15:1. "A gentle answer can turn away wrath. A harsh word can stir up anger." The power of our words. 16:28, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip can even end up separating close friends." But, and this is 16:24 now, "But gracious words are a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." So our tongues, the words that come out of our mouths, have power to cause pain, to cause healing. This is an observation from this book of wise sayings. And then appropriately so, Solomon goes on to provide for us some guidance about how we ought to use our tongues. We'll go through a few more of his sayings here. From chapter 10, verse 19, "Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues." 15:28, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." 16:23, "The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction." 18:2, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but they delight in airing their own opinions." And then 21:23, "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity." Pretty easy to see the advice that we're getting there, right? The major theme from our study of the book of Proverbs today is guard your tongue, a.k.a. think before you speak. Guard your tongue, also known as think before you speak. The first thing you would be taught in a course on how to use a gun would be how to use it safely, right? Because it's a potentially deadly weapon. And that's exactly what's going on here. The tongue can be a potentially deadly weapon. And so Solomon has some thoughts for us here on how to use it wisely, how to use it for good and not for harm. Now, when Solomon tells us to guard against our tongue, he's not telling us to guard our tongue from harm. No, he's telling us to guard us against our tongue, to keep ourselves and other people guarded against what might happen from this thing. And we do this, says the book of Proverbs, through holding our tongues, through weighing our answers, seeking to be prudent with our mouths, in other words, by thinking before we speak. And hopefully when we're doing that thinking before speaking, what we will be thinking about is principles and values that God has taught us through the study of his word. And then that godly thinking will help guide the words that come out of our mouths. We have some people in this church that like to talk, that are good talkers. That's true in any body of people, any group of people, and that's okay. It's not a bad thing in itself to be a talker. Though I wonder, though, if some of you who are talkers have discovered over the years that it can get you in trouble now and then. The more words that gush out of our mouth increases the likelihood that we'll say something we regret, right? And look again at that proverb there from chapter 10, verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. There can be danger in speaking many words. And I have to tell you that Dan Tuckett comes to mind as I was writing and thinking about this. At board meetings, Dan, you tend not to say a whole lot. But I can testify that when he says something, everybody's listening. He is not a man of multiplying words. He's a man of a few words. He thinks before he speaks, and he has many wise things to say. So, I'm not trying to turn everybody into a quiet person here. We all have the personalities that we've been given. In the end, it's not about the quantity of our words, but it is about the quality of them. So are we using our tongues to bring healing, to turn away wrath, to be gracious and encouraging? Or do we sometimes use our tongues in ways that bring conflict and anger, in ways that might wound or even pierce like swords? Tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There are consequences to be paid for us and those around us from how we use our tongues. And so the book of Proverbs tells us to guard our tongues and to think before we speak. And I wonder how ought this principle be applied to your life today? Are there ways in which you need to do a better job in this area? Would the Lord be pleased with how you speak about people, how you speak to people? Would the Lord be pleased with how you use your tongue? Question for me as well. So I encourage you, if you're feeling any conviction, don't just let this pass by today, but take these thoughts into your times of Bible reading and prayer this week, and then intentionally seek to make changes for the better. You know, we can read wise sayings, and we can say, oh, that was very wise. And then we can just go along through our lives and not have it impact us. Or we can read wise sayings and then sit down and intentionally think about how we're going to incorporate this into how we live. Okay, so that's our primary tip for wise living today from Proverbs. Guard your tongue, a.k.a. think before you speak. Let's follow up then on this theme that we had from Proverbs last week about receiving advice. If we're supposed to be good at receiving advice and correction, then how and when is it appropriate to give advice and correction to people? And do these thoughts from Proverbs that we've just looked at about our tongues have anything to add to that discussion? Well, before we answer that question, I want to tell you a quick story, and it's actually not much of a story. It's more of an example. Many years ago, I had a friend, a friend who was a female, still is actually. And this friend of mine was once given some correction, some unsolicited advice from an older member of her church. The older woman felt that the younger woman had begun to wear clothes to church that were seductive, in her opinion. So the older woman came to my friend one morning at church and pulled her aside and rather bluntly said to her that she ought to be more careful about leading astray the thoughts of the men in their church. Now, my friend had a relationship with this woman, although I wouldn't say it was a close relationship. And my friend's reaction to having been given this advice, as I remember it, was that she was very embarrassed and then later got pretty angry about it. Of course, what is seductive clothing and what is not is a matter of opinion. And for what it's worth, I remember thinking, you aren't even close to having seductive clothes, wearing seductive clothes at church. So was this an appropriate way for that person within the church to offer advice to another church member? Was this a case of iron sharpening iron? How and when is it appropriate for us to offer advice or correction to people? Well, you know, we've done some work on this subject in the past, maybe not exactly this angle we're coming at from today, but pretty close to it. And so what I want to do briefly here is to bring up some principles that we came to, some conclusions we came to in some of those previous sermons. Everything needs to be motivated by love. Talked about that a few times here, right? Everything needs to be motivated by love. So if you are thinking about bringing advice or correction to someone, what's your motivation? Is it love? Sometimes calling someone out on something is a very loving thing to do, right? But I think we need to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, what is it that is motivating our desire to bring this word of advice or correction to this person? Is it love? We've noted in the past that there is a process to follow for scenarios like this within the church that's been given to us by Jesus in Matthew 18. And this would be for a situation where a brother or sister in our church is actually involved in sin. And Jesus said this, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. If they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector." So we've said this in the past, right? That these scenarios start by having a one-on-one conversation. You go to the person. And I think, as we've remarked in the past, that this also implies you don't talk to others about the issue. You don't talk about people behind their backs. We've said that when you begin to start to feel yourself heading in a direction of talking about someone who is not in the room with you, that you need to pause. You need to ask yourself, would that person be okay with me saying these things? And if they wouldn't be okay, then you have to ask yourself, is there a godly reason to continue here and actually bring this up? If there is no godly reason to talk about the person who's not in the room with you, then you need to stop yourself. This actually would be an example of thinking before you speak. Guarding against your tongue, right? So don't talk about people behind their backs, and if there's an issue, start with this one-on-one conversation with that person. We've also said in a previous sermon that you need to think about your role before you begin bringing advice or correction to people. Now, if you're on the elder board at a church, which in our case would be the deacon board, then you actually are assigned the task from the Lord of bringing correction to those within the church who are involved in sin. You have that office and that authority, the requirement even of performing that task when it is warranted. But if you are not on the elder board, and I actually think this probably applies to people who have previously been on the elder board, but they're not currently on it, then you are coming simply as a fellow member with this person that you're thinking needs to be corrected, and you should approach them that way, as a peer and as a friend, not as an authority figure. So we need to think about our role before entering into a correction-type conversation with someone. So those are some good principles for us. Let's start coming at some specific answers to our question now. How and when is it appropriate to offer advice or correction to people? And let's talk about when first. When is it appropriate? Well, we're potentially talking about quite a wide range of issues here. This might be correction over sin, or it might be something like that, as simple as that story I brought up last week where my friend on the bus told me when I was in sixth grade that I needed to be taking more showers than I was at the time. All right, this is a pretty wide range of potential situations. So how about this for an answer? Borrowing from our knife sharpening analogy. Offering advice or correction to people might be appropriate when you see that there is something in their lives that is hindering their effectiveness. When you see there's something in their lives that's hindering their effectiveness. The fact that I was not showering enough was hindering my effectiveness at being a person that people would want to be friends with. Okay? And that kid on the bus actually offered me some very helpful advice. I wasn't real excited about the delivery of that message, but it was helpful advice for me at the time. If a friend and a fellow member of your church is routinely out getting drunk at parties, That is something that's hindering their effectiveness in being a true follower of Jesus, in being a good member of your church, and being a good witness for Christ in the community. And I would think that would qualify as an appropriate time to at least think about offering some advice or correction. So how about that for an answer to this, then, on when it's appropriate, at least, to think about offering advice or correction, and that answer is when you see that there's something in their lives that's hindering their effectiveness. And then I think we got to say two other things about that, about when it's appropriate, and here's one of those things. Unless you're in an authority position over a person, then I think you really need to have a solid relationship built up with that person before you start offering correction or advice. And here a couple of different sayings come to my mind. You've probably heard this one. A person needs to know that you care before they care what you know, right? And maybe you've heard this, something like this anyway. People need to hear 5 positive comments about who you think they are before they're ready to accept a constructive criticism from you. Think of Matthew 7:12 and Jesus' instruction to do to others what you would have them do to you. I mean, do you just want any Joe Blow coming up to you and telling you that you're off in your behavior? Or if you need to be corrected, would you rather have a friend come and tell you that, someone who has proved in the past that they care about you and they love you? There's no question, right? Be that second option. So in the matter of whether we are supposed to be more about the hugs or about the friction, no doubt we're supposed to be more about the hugs. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. And the more that you do these things, the more that you will earn the right to be heard when maybe you need to have a more difficult conversation. So build that relationship up before you start offering advice. This is another piece to the when to give advice question. And then my last thought for you on when to deliver advice is this: not all the time, all right? Okay, if you are routinely bringing advice and correction to people, they are going to quickly change their view of you as a friend to a view of you as someone who's trying to police them. And, you know, we just don't need to call attention to every little thing that's off in people's lives. There are very appropriate times just to pray for that person and allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does in that person's life. Remember that proverb we saw earlier that said, fools delight in airing their opinions. So let's be careful. Pick your battles. Don't be offering advice all the time. Okay, well, let's assume that the when question has been addressed and you have decided that this is, that the timing is right now to offer some advice or correction to a person. Then how is the next part of the question, right? How do we offer it appropriately? Well, we've already seen that it starts with a one-on-one conversation. We've already seen that we have to be very careful when we approach situations like this. Our tongue can be a dangerous weapon. And maybe we even ought to plan out ahead of time what we're going to say, just so that we will guard against our tongue and think before we speak. And then, man, I just think it's really important to make sure you're coming as a friend in these scenarios and to let your love for that person be evident in your words. You know, even tough love can be said in a loving way, right? Titus 3:2 tells us to always be gentle toward everyone. We saw Proverbs 15:1 earlier, a gentle word turns away wrath. And then there's Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. So if there needs to be a friction situation, a difficult sharpening experience, I think it can still be a gentle friction, if there is such a thing. At least it can start out that way. Remember to believe in the person. Separate their bad behavior from who they are. Believe in who they are. And let them know that you believe in them before and as you bring up that difficult subject. Oh, and then there's that great verse, Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. That just kind of sums it up, I think. You know, I think this is probably even true for those situations where it is an elder involved in bringing correction to a church member. You still start with a one-on-one conversation. You still plan it out ahead of time so you are careful to be guarding your tongue and say what you mean. You still let your love be evident in your words, right? Now, it's possible that the elder may have to move to less gentle friction as the situation plays out. You know, in the end, they have this God-appointed authority and responsibility there. But even the elder can start out gently. Okay, let's recap it. When is it appropriate to offer advice or correction to people? Number one, when you see that there's something in their lives that is hindering their effectiveness. Number two, after you have built up a solid relationship with that person, and you know, the possible exception there being that elder who may have to confront a scenario, although even in that scenario, it's better if you have built up a solid relationship first. Number three, don't be doing it all the time. Be careful not to be doing this too much. And then how is it appropriate to offer advice or correction to people? Number one, in a one-on-one conversation. Number two, having planned it out ahead of time, so that you'll be careful with your words. And number three, come as a friend, letting your love for the person be evident in your words. Okay, so let's go back to that example I gave you earlier where my friend had been confronted about her choice in clothing in church. Was that an appropriate way for that woman to offer advice to a fellow church member? Well, let's go through the list. Did the older woman see that there was something in the life of my friend that was hindering her effectiveness in being a Christ follower? Well, immodest dress certainly could be an issue for a Christian, but in this case, I'm afraid that she probably erred in her judgment. And actually, we probably should have had this on our list for today, that before you offer advice like this, you'd better be sure you're right. Had she built up a solid relationship with my friend first, you know, from my friend's reactions as I remember them, I'm going to guess that the answer to this is no. There wasn't enough of a good relationship probably built up there before that advice was offered. Was she offering advice all the time, or was she balanced in that? As far as I know, it was the only time that she gave advice like that to my friend. Was her advice delivered in a one-on-one conversation? Yeah. But I might suggest that cornering someone at church on a Sunday morning in order to suddenly offer unsolicited advice like that is not really appropriate. This should have taken place in a different kind of one-on-one conversation, a different setting. Did she plan it out ahead of time so as to be careful with her words? I don't know. The effect on my friend might indicate that she maybe had not been that careful, but I don't know. And then finally, did she come as a friend, letting her love for the person be evident in her words? I did not hear her words. It's possible that she said some loving things as well. All I can go by is my friend's reaction. I'm guessing that the advice was not couched in enough love. So it's a little hard to analyze this since none of us were there for the actual conversation, but it seems likely that this woman, first of all, might have erred in her judgment on, just simply on the advice that she was giving. She certainly didn't deliver the comments in the right kind of one-on-one conversation, and it also seems as though she probably had not built up a strong enough relationship with my friend prior to offering those thoughts. So all in all, I would guess that this conversation probably is going to get a fail on our test of what is appropriate. In conclusion, though, there are appropriate times for offering advice and correction into the lives of other people, and there are appropriate ways of doing it. And I actually want to encourage us to have these difficult one-on-one conversations with your friends here at Calvary when it's appropriate. You know, we don't want to be a church full of dull knives with baggage that's hindering our effectiveness for Jesus. Yes, we do need more hugging than we need sharpening, but we do need sharpening too. Solomon's already told us of the value of receiving advice and correction from godly wise people in our lives. Well, we had better hope then that those people out there who have been trained by godly wisdom are actually giving advice from time to time and correction to people when it's appropriate. So if something is bugging you about someone's behavior, go clear the air. Man, don't complain to others about them. Go to the person. If you see something that's off in a person, consider whether or not it would be appropriate to go talk with them about it. Let's do this kind of thing for each other and allow iron to sharpen iron here at Calvary. But remember, please, that the tongue can be a dangerous weapon when it's not used correctly. It has the power of life, has the power of death in it, as the book of Proverbs tells us. So be careful with your words, guard your tongue, think before you speak. And I hope that this list I've offered you today about when and how to give advice and correction can help you in that process of thinking before you speak, and so that we would wait for the right time to do that kind of thing, and so that we would do it in the right manner. Let's not wound people with our tongues, but instead use them to bring help and healing and love. May it be so here at Calvary. Amen.